Our Lord Jesus himself instituted this feast. And it began in a process starting with St. Gertrude of Helfta, who was a Cistercian nun, and to whom the Lord gave the grace to understand this reality of his heart. Then, you know, in the 17th century, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And he instructed her and said, I want a feast in my honor, in the honor of the love I have for the human race, a feast of the Sacred Heart. And so her confessor, Father Claude de la Colombière, arranged to finally get the word to the Pope, and we have a feast. That wasn't enough, was it? We still don't believe his mercy. So then the Lord told Faustina, I want the Sunday after Easter to be Mercy Sunday. They've got to go to church. It's Sunday. So they've got to hear those readings. They've got to hear the preaching. They have got to know mercy. And that's why we have Mercy Sunday. So, why are we so dumb? Well, I think we kind of project onto the Lord our own narrow-heartedness. And he's not like that. I never knew we were going to have such confusion with the liturgical books, or I would have come down and worked on them earlier. But I was up there reading something I wrote years ago about the notion of heart in the Bible. It's amazing, isn't it, that this organ that pumps the blood is so tied to our will and our emotions. When we love, we feel it. And we have emotions towards somebody. They're coming from this area. And the world has known that, oh my goodness, you know, for many thousands of years, that the heart is really the center of a human being. And if the human being loves it all, it has a reverberation in that physical heart. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus says, that's just what happens to me too. When I think of you, my heart beats faster. He said, well, how can that be? There's billions of us. Don't worry, I'm the Son of God. I can handle that. You know? My heart beats faster. So, there's a beautiful, in a part of a book upstairs I've got, by a German Catholic philosopher, a really good one. He talks about, you see, that the heart is like the very center of the human being. It's that place, you see, where there's nothing between ourselves and God. That's the heart. And it's in our whole physical system, you know. If you love somebody and you haven't seen them for a while and you see them, it's your heart, but it's your whole being that feels excited and good. And now, that's Jesus. What is he going to have to do to finally win us over? Because there's not a saint in the books, or a saint in heaven who hasn't been won over by the love that Jesus Christ has for them. So you see, this heart of ours is that very place where there's nothing between us and God. And if we learn to dwell in our heart, you see, the great hesychasts, you know, the monks, you arrive at maturity when your mind dwells in your heart. Then you think straight. When your head is in your head, that's all you got is your head. But when your head is in your heart, you see, that's the place where we are directly and in an unveiled relationship to God. So it's important to find that place, to live there, to seek the Lord. But now look at it from the other side. The heart of Jesus, is the place where he's directly in his human being, you know, related to the Father, but related to us. And you think, with all these efforts he's made, you know, St. Gertrude, St. Margaret Mary de Alacoque, St. Therese, and St. Faustina, we'd get it. If we want to be holy, we have to be won over by the love of Christ. You can fast until you weigh 30 pounds if you want. And it's not that's a little bit exaggerated, but it doesn't hurt to fast. But sanctity is love. And love is responding to the love, infinite love of God, which is in the heart of Christ. And so, what we should be doing is seeking out that heart of Christ. That place where we, in a totally uncomplicated, untrammeled, uncovered over way, relate to God. That's our heart. And that's what the Bible means by your heart. And what does he say? What, like Jeremiah says, oh, you know what you can do when you go home? I'll bet there's an article. Do you have a biblical dictionary? Like Leon Dufour and those things? Look up the word heart and meditate on it. See, Jeremiah says the heart of man is an abyss. Who can ever, you know? Well, the Holy Spirit can do that and purify our heart. That's why we examine our conscience every day. What have I been thinking? What have I been feeling? What have I been willing? What have I been... Where am I? You see? And try to bring our heart back, because there is that place where there's nothing between us, between Jesus Christ, between the Almighty Father and the Spirit. There's nothing between, you see? Now, it's not clear. If it was totally clear, we'd be so bounding in joy, we'd die. Because it's that powerful. Now, the heart of Jesus is that place. We're kind of like a miracle in that one human heart is an infinite love for every human being on the globe, and every human being in purgatory, and every human being in heaven, and in a strange way, still a love for the safe, for those in hell. He can't do much for them because they don't want to be anywhere else. But if we could take time today to think about this, what else does he have to do to win us over? And that's the only way anybody gets to be holy, is to be won over by this love of Jesus. What can I say? You know, it's that place where there's nothing. I'm not my thoughts, not my ideas, not my resolutions, not my repentance. There's nothing. Just the love, the reality of Jesus facing my heart. That's his heart. That's what it is. And when you think of the way that God has arranged it, that the infinite love of God can be in a human heart, Jesus' heart. Why? So we'll get it. We have today, you know, they're all upset because he's hanging around with these people. He likes these people. And so he tells this story, two of them. You're so happy when you finally find the thing you lost. So we turn back to the Lord, we repent, we turn from sin, and there's just joy in his heart.